This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ed Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Oh, always a delight to talk to our guy Joe Fortenbaugh. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. And Joe, of course, with 95.7 The Game, Daily Wager on the Four Letter Network. He is our man in Vegas by way of the Bay Area. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Joe.
Yeah, boys. Doing well. Thanks so much for having me on. It's always a great pleasure to speak with you. What's the story in Chicago this week?
Well,
you're coming off the London game. You got the bye.
The London game
John
ruined
Gruden
everything.
John Gruden pantsed Matt Nagy?
John Gruden, and he also made fun of Club Dub.
Club Dub. I would say this. I was watching that game. We talked about this last week. I like the idea of laying the points with the Bears. I thought they were going to be able to get back in it late like everyone did, and then the Raiders closed the door. Obviously, it's one of those situations where you made so many mistakes early that it was very difficult to dig out of the hole. But the one thing we're starting to notice is that that loss at the end of the season probably won't look as bad as everyone thinks it looks right now. The Raiders were very physical up front. And if that was the only time that had happened, then I'd say, all right, that's a problem for the Bears. But it happened against Indianapolis the week before a little bit, and it happened big time in week one against Denver. You got to remember, before Bradley Chubb was hurt, obviously, he and Von Miller combined for 26.5 sacks last season. They didn't even touch Derek Carr in that week one game. So I think the Raiders might have a little bit more going on offense than we originally anticipated, which is something we'll recalibrate as we move forward with some of these point spreads.
You know, Joe, we also talked to Peter Gammons, who called the Giants opening the best available manager's opening out there. And just curious, being out there, what do you think of that, and who's the favorite to get that job?
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, so, I mean, if you're going to get hired, you're probably going to have a lot of flexibility here. This is a casual, relaxed fan base. It does not mean that they don't love their team. They're just not going to get as hostile or angry as maybe like Chicago did with Madden, or like my fan base growing up, the Phillies did with Kapler, like right out of the gate. Like the fans demand a lot early, and I like that. Here it's a lot more casual. So the thing the Giants have to do is they've got to clear out a lot of the dead weight, like Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford. There are some contracts there, Buster Posey. People here don't want to hear this because they love these guys from the three World Series. But that stuff was over 5 years ago, and you got to clear all that out. I equate it to Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused walking around talking about how cool it was when he was in high school playing football. Like, none of these young guys care about that 2012 World Series. They weren't around. They were in college or high school. They don't care. Like, you got to get those guys out of there. So there's some upside. It is an organization that spends a lot of money. They're going to want to compete. Farhan Zaidi, the new general manager, very analytically driven. He knows what he's doing. But it's going to take time. The next manager is not going to step in and immediately overhaul the system. Raul Ibanez is a name we're hearing a lot. And Gabe Kapler, who was just fired in Philadelphia, is a name that just surfaced. Hmm. The idea that the second time through as a manager you'd be better off, I don't know. I'm highly suspicious. Kapler had a contender 2 years in a row, and his team got worse each year as the season wore on. I think he was 20-36 in the month of September. It's not all his fault, but he had a good team this past year, and he didn't do very much with it.
Yeah, it's fascinating, really, to see the kind of the rise and fall of different managers, of different coaches, let's be honest about it. As you go through professional seasons, you know, some guys reveal themselves to be idiots. Some guys, I mean, look at Davey Martinez. He was basically fired the first week or first month of this season.
Yep.
And now here he is, and all of a sudden the nasty gnats are a real thing. So I don't know what to make of it, Joe. I never know when to pull the plug on guys, and I'm always uncertain about calling for people's jobs when it's their damn job and you're, you know, talking on the radio. It's just, you got to give yourself a little pause there.
Of course. And in baseball too, it's such a different dynamic than what you see in any other sport. Like the production on the field is so directly linked to the coaching staff. In San Francisco, it's a perfect analogy, because coming into this season, oh, is Kyle Shanahan on the hot seat? And it's like, why would you even suggest that? He has a 6-year deal. This is year three. His quarterback's been hurt. He hasn't had a good roster. He's in a very tough division. Give it patience. And now this team looks fantastic, and everyone wants to give him an extension. And it's like, you know, just give the guy time. If he's a smart mind, that's what you're looking for. Like, just give him some personnel and see what happens. And now they're starting to win. What with baseball, it's so much more about just managing the day-to-day, like making sure everyone's getting along, making sure the losing streaks don't extend, you know, 3, 4, 5 games when they could just be stopped at 2, being able to just keep guys bought into the plan. And it's very different in this day and age than it was 20, 30 years ago. You're starting to notice the coaches in all sports who love to yell and scream, the Bobby Knights of the world, the guys that would get up in your face, that doesn't happen anymore. It's about being low-key. Like, the younger generation does not respond well to being screamed at. Like, you got to be able to coach these guys up. You got to be able to talk to them. You got to be able to relate to them. Like Shanahan and some of these younger guys who can just kind of chill out and just go about the business and hold people accountable for their actions, that seems to be what you're looking for in the makeup of a guy who's going to run a team.
All right, Joe, let's start with your picks. Let's start with the NFL.
All right, first up, this is an early game in London, so don't wake up late after partying all night in the Viagra Triangle. Carolina, -2.5 over Tampa Bay. Horrible scheduling spot for the Buccaneers here. Bruce Arians has been talking about this all season. Thursday night, all the way back in week 2, they have to travel to Carolina. They beat the Panthers with Cam Newton. They come home to play the Giants. Then they got to go all the way across the country to L.A. to play the Rams. Then they got to go to New Orleans to play the Saints. Now they got to get on a plane and go to London. Meanwhile, Carolina very quietly looks like a better football team in the transition from Cam Newton to Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen fits what offensive coordinator North Turner wants to do. It's a vertical passing attack. You got to get the ball down the field. Newton couldn't do that with the shoulder injury and the foot injury. Allen can. He hasn't thrown an interception yet. He's completing 67% of his passes. The Panthers are 3-0 with him under center, and they're averaging about 29 points per game. For those who believe in the revenge spots, this is a revenge spot. Week 2, Tampa went into Carolina and beat the Panthers. This is a situation where the Panthers can get him back. Lay the 2.5 with Carolina over Tampa in London. Game 2, this game stinks. It's going to be very difficult to bet this, but I'm taking the Browns +2 points over the Seahawks on Sunday. See, this is that classic game where if you don't really follow betting, here's what you're thinking. The last you saw Seattle, they were on a nationally televised game Thursday night, beating the defending NFC champion Rams. The last we saw Cleveland, they were on a nationally televised game, getting their teeth kicked in Santa Clara against the Niners. Oh, by the way, the Seahawks have 10 days to get ready. The Browns are on the short week. So everybody's going to want to play the Seahawks. It just looks so obvious in this one. This is your classic contrarian play. You're going to have like 80% of the tickets on Seattle. Cleveland on the look-ahead line was a 2-point favorite. Now they're a 2-point dog. I think there's a big over-adjustment. Plus, both losses this year, Cleveland's bounced back well. They came back to beat the Jets by 20 and to beat the Ravens on the road by 15. I understand the Jets aren't great. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying this team has shown some resiliency, and they've spent the week talking about getting the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. I expect them to make the adjustments. I'll take the 2 with the home dog Cleveland Browns. Next 2 out of the gate are both totals. I'm going over 44, Philadelphia and Minnesota. Mike Zimmer has a pretty obvious approach to attacking the Eagles. If you're going to run at the Eagles, you're not going to move the ball, you're not going to score. Look at what happened with the Packers when they were trying to do that in the first half of the game against the Eagles on Thursday night a few weeks back. It's foolish. The Eagles are the best run defense in the NFL. Now, Zimmer loves to run with Dalvin Cook, so he's going to have to get away from what he likes. But if he throws the ball against Philadelphia, he should have plenty of success. It's a beat-up secondary. The guys who are healthy, most of them are coming back from serious injuries last year. You can shred these dudes. Case Keenum did it in week 1. Plenty of quarterbacks have had success against Philly, and Kirk Cousins had a nice game against the Giants. That's not to say he's going to be great this week, but they're at home. It's a good situation. You're going to have the crowd noise on your side. Bad Eagles secondary. They should be able to hang their points. Conversely, Philadelphia, they're scoring a hell of a lot of points this year, too. Now, they're going up against a very good defense, but Philly's one of those teams, no matter what spot you put them in, no matter who the opponent, they're going to find a way to score. I'm not saying they're winning, and I'm not saying they're putting up 30, but they're going to get their half of the equation. So for 44 points to be the total here, I think this is really low. It's too defensive-minded. I think both these teams are going to hang enough points to get over the total. Game number four, San Francisco and the Rams. I'm going to go under. This is 50.5. I don't understand why the number's so high. The Niners are number one in the league in rushing, 200 yards per game. They're number one in the league in rushing attempts per game, 38.5. They're number two in time of possession. They control the clock. They grind the tempo. You saw that against Cleveland, and they're going to be able to run at least to a, some level of success against the Rams, who haven't been very good against the run this season. Now, there are a lot of injuries the Niners are dealing with, but that doesn't mean they're going to try to throw it all over the yard. At the same time, the Rams, for as good as they've been offensively, they're running into the best defense they've seen all season. The Niners can generate pressure with four while dropping seven, which is going to make life difficult for Jared Goff. I do not see this being a shootout. I'm going to go under 50.5. So your four NFL games, Carolina minus 2.5 over Tampa, Cleveland plus 2 over Seattle, Philly, Minnesota over 44, the Niners, Rams under 50.5.
What about the college slate? There's some great rivalry games.
Well, in typical Joe Fortenbaugh fashion, I'm going to give you four obscure games, and then I'll give you one big one. The first one out of the gate, lay the 4.5 with Army over Western Kentucky. Army's getting healthy. Western Kentucky, they have, like, no experience dealing with the option. Their coach has no experience with the option. The team has no experience with the option. Army's going to come in. They're good at controlling the clock. They're going against an offense that ranks 76th in the passing game, 126th in rush. If you're suspect on offense and you're not going to be real good slowing Army down, it's going to be tough to try to catch up against them later in that game. Plus, there's a lot of value here. Had Army not lost to Tulane that last week, they're probably like a 10-point favorite in this game. Because they lost, that number's now all the way down to 4.5. This is a value play with Army, 4.5 over Western Kentucky. Number two, Arizona plus 6 over Washington. Washington lost again last week. That's their second of the season when some thought they could be a playoff team this year. They lost at Stanford, so the playoff hopes are done, and they got Oregon on deck, which is a huge game for them. So now they have to go to Arizona. They take on this Wildcats team. No one knows what to make of them. Khalil Tate came back, the quarterback, healthy last week. He was shredding Colorado. These guys are averaging 539 yards, 37 points per game. They lost the opener to Hawaii, and then everyone dismissed them. And they've been on a big-time roll in the four games since. They've won four straight. Washington's defense is not what we remember. They're not as good as they've been in recent years, so Arizona should have a lot of success running the ball here. Six in the pocket feels pretty good. I think they could win this game outright. Game number three, UAB laying 12 at University of Texas San Antonio. UTSA had a nice win last week against a against a really bad team. And in the three games prior to that, they had been outscored by a boatload of points. 109 points they had been outscored by in three consecutive losses heading into last week's win, which wasn't all that impressive. I think it was UTEP, if memory serves me correctly. They're minus 7 in turnover differential. They're getting outscored by 14 points per game. UAB, believe it or not, very good rushing attack, and that's going to be a problem for Texas San Antonio, who's given up 225 rushing yards per game. UAB with a very solid defense. Lay the 12 with UAB at Texas San Antonio. Game number four, take 3.5 with Wyoming at San Diego State. I've been coming on here for so many years. A few years ago, there was a run where we were playing the Aztecs like every week. They were a great team. They're not anymore, though. They're not that power running game we used to see with Rashad Penny and Donnell Pumphrey, who we talked about like 2, 3, 4 years ago. They're transitioning to the spread offense, and it's having a big-time effect on their offense. They're only averaging 20 points per game. Wyoming's 4-1 very quietly, straight up and against the spread. Plus, they're off the bye here, so I like them to come in and possibly upset San Diego State, take the Cowboys plus 3.5. So the four random games, Army minus 4.5 at Western Kentucky, Arizona plus 6 hosting Washington, UAB minus 12 over Texas San Antonio, Wyoming plus 3.5 at San Diego State. I'm also going to lay the 13.5 with LSU over Florida. Florida had a huge win at home over Auburn last week. The kids were partying, celebrating, as they should be. They had a great time. You do not have that luxury when you have this version of LSU on deck. The Tigers have hung 42 or more in all five games this season. They got a legitimate offense, a legitimate Heisman candidate in quarterback Joe Burrow, 54.6 points per game. They've won a big road game at Texas. This is a night game at Baton Rouge. If Florida comes in and they aren't able to control the clock early and they fall behind, they don't have the offense equipped to play catch-up here. I'll lay the 13.5 with LSU.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
Great stuff, Joe.
Love you guys. Have a great weekend. I'll catch up with you next Friday.
Thanks so much, Joe. See you, buddy. That is Joe Fortenbaugh. Always a joy to talk to him. And this segment of the – what?
Where are you? Forgot to ask him about Louisiana Tech, Massachusetts.
I love when he gives you a directional school.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.